Our first scripture reading of the morning is from the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, but I'll be reading the first chapter from the last book. I'll be reading from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. This is John, exiled on the island of Patmos, speaking to the churches. Listen to this portion of God's word to you. It says, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it's probably no secret that Jesus loved dinner parties. In fact, his critics accused him of eating and drinking too much. If you look right down below me, you can see that our Lord did leave us his own memorial meal. In fact, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so it's not surprising that around Chestnut level, we might say, wherever two or three Presbyterians are gathered, a chicken dies. Let's face it, we love to eat. And that is often the case when we get invited to a wedding reception. Last Saturday, I officiated the wedding for my cousin Peter aboard a rented yacht in New Jersey, which traveled across the Hudson River, around the Statue of Liberty, along the New York skyline, and is all part of the wedding reception experience. Now, the invitation that we received in the mail was clear. Be to the boat, on the boat, by 5 p.m. or you are going to miss the entire event. And so we made sure that we left here in plenty of time, arrived in Jersey City, especially because I was on the hook to do the wedding. So, but I was thinking this week about the wording of some wedding invitations, especially as it pertains to what we are supposed to wear. They used to say things like formal or casual attire. But you know what? Now they seem a bit more complicated. In fact, one invitation that I read about had the words resort dressy. What in the world does that mean? Does that mean I'm supposed to wear like a Hawaiian shirt with a striped tie? What does resort dressy mean? Now, let's be honest. When you go to a party, you want to fit in. And resort dressy leaves a lot of unanswered questions because nobody wants to stick out like a sore thumb and have to be on the lookout for the fashion police. Well, believe it or not, back in Jesus' day, how you presented yourself at a party was even more important. When you went to a party back then, you were told by the host where to sit. And where they placed your name tag was telling you who you are, where you belong, and what you were worth in a society that was based on your family lineage, your circle of friends, and your own personal wealth. But the trick is, you first needed to be invited. And who gets invited, in other words, who is on that guest list, is just about as important as the party itself. Now, come to think of it, is it really that much different in our own social settings that we are in today? Reminds me of an episode from the TV show Frasier. Frasier and Niles are at it again. They are planning a grand dinner party, and they're going at it as to who should be invited and who should not be invited.
Spies. That leaves six chairs to fill.
Well, we have to have Joan and Ted Birkin. That's a no-brainer.
Technically, that's two no-brainers. Forget the Birkins.
Who else? Oh, wait a minute. You can't just steamroll over me. I want the Birkins.
Oh, I don't.
Well, I do.
All right. All right. We will each have the right to blackball, let's say, three guests. We will each get an equal voice.
Well, that's fair enough.
All right, here's three for you.
There you go.
And three for me. And just to get the blackball rolling, bye-bye, Birkins.
Well, what about John and Carol Peterson? Everyone loves them.
Not everyone. Blackball.
Why?
No. We never question the blackball. We just bow to its will.
Fine. Nina and Arch Duncan.
The drunken Duncans? Have you lost your...
Wait a minute.
You loathe the Duncans. You just want me to waste a blackball.
That's insane. I adore the Duncans.
Really? Well, then, perhaps I've misjudged them. Very well, Niles. The Duncans it is. Nina and Arch.
Oh, stop it. They're hideous. How about the Wahlbergs?
Oh, I like the Wahlbergs.
Finally.
Yes.
Oh, the Gordons.
I love the Gordons. Now we're rolling.
How about the DeFalcos?
Blackball. She is a twit.
How about the Whitneys?
Oh, blackball. He's a dolt.
Cromwells?
Blackball.
Look, if you're going to... Wait a minute. You're out of blackball. This is a dried up old fig.
So is Missy Cromwell. I don't want her at my party.
I'm sorry. Rules are rules. The Cromwells are in. The guest list is complete. Now, let's start calling everyone.
Yes. There you go. Beginning with our guests of honor. Mm-hmm. The Ashbys.
Yeah.
Hello, Hollis. Fraser Crane calling. Listen, Niles and I are planning on having a dinner party on the 19th. Oh,
they're leaving for Africa on the 19th.
Oh, gee, that's a shame. We were sort of building the evening around you.
Oh? They've got the 11th free.
Well, it's no good. We've got that concert.
I didn't ask you to that.
The 11th should be just fine.
Oh, no, they've got a conflict.
Oh, well, that's no problem. They were our very next call. We absolutely adore the Duncans. All right, see you then.
Not the drunken Duncans.
I'm sorry, Niles. They've got plans for the Ashbys on the 11th, so they're invited to.
Fine, I want my blackball back.
No. The blackball was dropped. Can never be.
Shut up.
Well, back in Jesus' day, there was also this elite upper crust, movers and shakers and people that you very much wanted to come to your party. In fact, they actually threw parties for the sole purpose of having people come over, fawn over you, curry favor, and bow in submission. And Jesus saw what was going on, and he absolutely despised it. He saw what it did to people and who was left out. So Jesus decided that part of his ministry would be to tear down these velvet robes of privilege and to put the fun with a capital F back in parties. He said that the people who follow me are not going to be your typical stuffy party host, those who like to show off, those who like to try to manipulate and intimidate people. Instead, they are to have a heart overflowing with generous love. Now, nowhere is that more evident than in a story that Jesus once told that must have sounded both scary and hilarious to his audience. He told the story of a man who tried to play by the rules when he threw a party. This man followed all of the proper protocol. He followed the Emily Post rules of etiquette to a T. He hired a party planner, some caterers, and then he sent out a servant who hand-delivered personal engraved invitations that he hung on all of his highfalutin friends' doorknobs. This man invites an A-list of social luminaries, those who did not get blackballed, but who actually turned the tables and blackball the host. I'd like for us to look at this story together as Jesus tells the parable of the wedding banquet. It comes to us from Matthew chapter 22, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 14. Listen once again to this portion of God's word. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. God, we pray that in these moments that we have together, that you would open our hearts and minds and eyes to see your word, to understand it, to embrace it, and then to live it out in a way that honors you. Prepare our hearts, O God, to come to your table and to this banquet that you have prepared especially for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes at parties, we will clink our glasses as an acknowledgement or in response to a celebration. Now, I hear that the reason that we do that is because that act completes the moment. Now, if you think about it, four of our senses are engaged by a meal. We can smell the wonderful aromas of the food. We see the presentation and the place settings. You can actually feel the warmth of the food coming from your plate. And of course, the taste is dancing across your tongue. But there is not one sense that is engaged until you hear the word or the sound clink. And it said that act completes the moment. There are actually some scripture readings that sound as if you're giving a toast to Jesus Christ. In fact, in Revelation chapter 1, which I read for you earlier, it says, "To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. Amen." And if you can imagine in your mind's eye, the disciples almost sitting around the table saying, "To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood." Clink, clink. That is certainly a toast you can do today, and a toast that we will do together as we come to the Lord's table on this World Communion Sunday. Now, in the same parable that also appears in Luke's gospel, a man invites his friends over for a gala feast, and all of those guests RSVP to the negative and for rather flimsy reasons. One guy has just purchased some real estate and he needs to go inspect it. Another guy has gotten himself a brand new set of wheels. It says he purchased 5 yoke of oxen and he needs to take it out for a test drive. Still another has gotten married and is out on his honeymoon and has some unnamed responsibilities, but it's all the same to the party host because he has been stood up. In Matthew's version of this parable, what we're talking about this morning, slightly different from the parable as it appears in Luke, injury is added to insult as the would-be guests actually kill the king's messengers. And so the man says, "I'm going to have my party anyway. Forget the party poopers. The heck with my friends, the heck with the protocol, the heck with the rules, the heck with impressing people. Anybody is invited to this party of mine. You can't be scrungy enough to be my friend. Bring in the heroes. Bring in the zeros. I'm going to have a party that is like New Year's Eve, the Mardi Gras, and the 4th of July all rolled into one." He says, "Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." As servants of our King, that's our mission to the world, to call all people and invite them to the party, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Someone has said, the church is the only organization in the world where the prime prerequisite for membership is that you have to admit that you don't deserve to belong. Make no mistake about it, all of us are no more than beggars at a banquet. And we are only here because of the eternal graciousness of our kingly host. Let's be honest, we are very blessed as a congregation, and we have few people here who are poor or crippled or blind or lame in the sense that the Bible is talking about. And yet I know, and you know, that there are a lot of us who are going through rather difficult and stressful times. Maybe it's financial, but it also could be professional or relational, or maybe it's even a spiritual struggle. One of the great gifts that God gives to us in the midst of suffering is that we can still celebrate. The pastor author Rob Bell has written, "I am learning that the church has nothing to say to the world until it throws better parties." By this, I don't necessarily mean balloons and confetti and clowns who paint faces. I mean backyards and basements and porches. It is the flow of real life in the places we live and move with the people we are on the journey with that we are reminded that it is God's world and that we are going to be okay. And so, friends, I call upon you to go out and reclaim the party scene for Jesus Christ. That did you ever think in your wildest imagination you'd ever hear a minister say something like that? But I call you to go out and be a heavenly host. And for this church, Chestnut Level, to be a multitude of the heavenly host who party in a way that honors Christ. And yes, parties may be obvious and unobvious in signs that tell you who you are and where you belong. Let's make sure that we are people who go out and tell people that they are of infinite worth and that they belong to at the party. Well, this would be a great place to end the sermon, and yet the parable is not quite over yet. Instead, the story takes a rather strange twist because many of these late invited party guests are not exactly dressed for the occasion. And so the king hands out gowns at the door for the people to wear over their tattered rags. In ancient times, it was common that a special robe would be given to guests of the king as they entered into the banquet. Well, here's the shocker, as it says in verse 11, "But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. And the king asked him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' And it says the man was speechless, as you might imagine. And then he told his attendant, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where he'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen.'" So it begs the question, what are these wedding clothes and how in the world do we lay our hands on them? Well, we know that clothes have a lot to do with how we feel about ourselves. I know when I go shopping, I look for clothes that will make me look good, clothes that will make me look better than I really am. That's what God wants us to put on as we come to the banquet this morning. God wants us to put on a robe of Christ's righteousness that can only come to you and me through the cross of Christ. The Bible says our own robes are like filthy rags, and so we must put on the Lord Jesus as we come to the table this morning. In a tribute to Ginger Rogers after her death, the tribute said, "Ginger Rogers showed that any girl with the right guy in the right dress could go right to the top." You know, it helps if the guy is Fred Astaire. But you know what? The dress is important too. So friends, as I close, let me ask you, have you put on a robe of Christ's righteousness? Are you able to say, "He has covered me with garments of salvation. He has clothed me in a robe of righteousness"? Chestnut Level Presbyterian Church, you know how to party well, and you're a terrific bunch of people to be around. But won't you wear your wedding clothes? Won't you let Christ drape you in holy righteousness? After all, don't forget, he wove that garment himself while he hung on the cross. But this morning, he offers it to you and me, that we might become spotless and holy and clean and acceptable in his eyes. So please, slip into that robe and meet me at the banquet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.